This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ali to our listeners in Palau, where the 2025 Pacific Mini Games are officially underway. And welcome everyone to Nizhen Footy, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinirau Aruna, and with Sammy in Palau, we've called in the Kaz Tupo Sopoanga. Welcome to Nizhen Footy, brother, or welcome back, I should say.
Oh, kia rana, Kaz, the number one 18th man of the universe is back in the building. Grateful to be here.
How's life been, brother?
Wait, life on the sidelines, just waiting for my call-up, and here we are, man.
We're here. What we got on the show today?
Man, so firstly, we're going to be wrapping up the round 17 of the NRL. Our preseason favourites are obviously making a comeback, our favourite team. We've got the Lions here in Australia on the British and Irish Lions tour. They took on the Force in the weekend, and none other, we've got Jesse Sinalafoa here for us, T. How good?
Yes, Jesse will be joining us. He played in the NRL for the Manly Sea Eagles, also Cronulla Sharks, and then he went over to the UK. I think it was about 9-10 years he spent over there. Very close friend of mine, but he's got a cool story about someone who just stayed in the fight, and he made his NRL debut mid-20s.
It was all about resilience. That
resilience. And I know there's challenges that come with being on the fringes and chasing your dreams. And this guy's got quite the story. He was even a security guard while being an NRL player. So we'll dive deep into that story and also all the other stories that he has for us. So stay tuned.
Moment of the week.
Yes, it's Monday. We are heading into State of Origin Game 3, which is next Wednesday night. But the State of Origin teams have been announced. Now, Toops, I don't know if you've heard Nizhen Footy lately, but a few weeks ago when the Origin teams were announced, we said here on Nizhen Footy that we recommend that Queensland call up the half Cook Islander, half Samoan, Josh Papali'i, and say, come out of retirement and help us win this series. Game 3, he's been named on the list. Someone's listening.
Man, far out. What a huge bombshell of a selection. What a moment of the week coming up. It's going to be great, not just for Australia, but for the game itself.
We've also had another massive selection in this team. Gihamat Shibasaki.
Shibasaki.
Man, this guy's had quite the journey. He's a bit of a journeyman in the rugby league and NRL, his career, but also he spent some time in rugby union. He signed a deal at the Brisbane Broncos at the start of this year on a train and trial. Yep. So he wasn't even...
He wasn't even part of the team.
Top 30. Yep. And...
Look at him now.
Look at him now. The way that he's played, the way that he's performed in that center position, man, he's got himself a jersey on the biggest stage. We call this game the pinnacle of rugby league, yep. State of Origin. And to be selected in game 3 with everything's on the line, it's one all, both teams have won one each, and the winner of this game wins the series. Gihamat Shibasaki has been called in to play for Queensland. What a moment for him and his family.
Hey, it's Payne Hussey from the Brisbane Broncos. You are listening to Nizhen Footy.
We got rugby league first up. T, where are we starting this week?
So I thought actually we'll mix it up a little bit. I want to ask you a couple questions. So it's round 17. At the start of the year, I had all these predictions on who was going to do well, who would be in the top four, okay, who would be at the bottom. And I feel like every single one of them are wrong. Because if you're a...
It's hard to tell. Up,
mate, no one can get the tips right. There's upsets everywhere. So I'm going to, first question for you right now, who's your favorite team to win the competition 2025 NRL?
This is a huge call, but I think they've got it right at the right time. The Raiders.
The Raiders?
The Raiders. Good mix between young and old.
Are you meaning like they've got it at the right time, like good time for this year or in terms of the season? Because I didn't even have the Raiders in my top eight, I think.
Neither. But they've got a good mix between the young guys, fresh legs, energetic, got a lot of carries. Then you've got the old dogs in the middle. You know, they're doing what you need to do in the middle, just tighten that stuff up.
Yeah, so with Josh Papali'i and Joseph Tapine there.
Yep. We got all the guys from overseas, all these Super League boys playing for them at the moment. So
young, fast outside backs as well.
Yep.
My only concern is their style of play, a lot of energy, high intense, hard carries. Can they sustain that through the whole season?
Yeah.
When it comes finals, can you play those finals games the way that you're playing round one and two? The way that they went to Las Vegas and played the Warriors and played that game with that high, with that intensity, would they be able to do that in the finals given their style of play?
I think they can because of the youth.
Next question. Who's been your favourite player to watch this season so far?
Oh, man. Born and bred in Lower Hutt, New Zealand. Izzy Katoa.
Izzy.
He's such a good player to watch.
He's growing in his role, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's only 21, but he plays like he's 28. He's had 100 games under his belt. It's refreshing seeing a Polynesian run a team, be amazing.
What do you love about his game? Like, what's the one big thing you love about his game?
His tempo.
Yeah.
Like, his tempo is so refreshing. It's got a bit of maturity about it, but it's super dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, the way he passes the ball, the way he moves into the line. Not many guys at 21 do that, so I think he's one of the best players, not to just watch, but also have in your team. What about yourself?
Man, I was going to go with Isaiah Katoa as well. So, or let's go with Eli Katoa, which we'll go to right now. I think
they're not cousins, are they?
No, they're not related. The Katoa last name is big in the Tongan community. I've actually asked a number of them because you've got Sione Katoa, you've got Isaiah Katoa, and you've got Eli Katoa. But apparently they're not all related. Oh, so, Eli Katoa is probably the other one that I've enjoyed watching because the way that, which is going into my preview, when the Storms took on the Sharks, Storm win this one 30-6, but it was the Eli Katoa show.
It was.
He had his hand in everything. You know, he scored the first try. He had two try assists, and they weren't just normal, like your usual try assists where you're the last pass to the guy scoring the try. These two try assists, Jerome Hughes puts a bomb up and he's chasing. Now that's a choice. If he didn't chase as hard as he could and he let the fullback Will Kennedy catch the ball, no one says anything. He's still done a kick chase. But because he ran with intent, put himself in a position to jump and compete for the ball, he then comes down and then offloads for two tries. He done this not once but twice. Two try assists straight after the game. He was asked by an interviewer saying, "Yeah, what is it about the Storm?" And he said, "Look, Craig Bellamy tells him you play how you train." Now, I thought when he said that moment, I'm like, "That's a good lesson for every young rugby league player or rugby union player. The way that you train is the way that you're going to play. So if it means putting in them efforts, jumping up for those high balls, you do that training, you're eventually it's going to come out in the game. You can't expect that just to happen, but." Eli Katoa ended up running for 145 metres. He also had 32 tackles in this game. But, geez, what a player.
What an impact.
And he's a player also that's come over from the Warriors. Mm. And then
he's another one of those Warriors players who's come over and they've just blossomed in a new environment.
In other results over the weekend, the Manly Sea Eagles beat the West Tigers 28-10. The Raiders, your team, Toops, they beat the Knights 22-18. The Broncos got a huge win over the Warriors 26-12. And the Storms beating the inconsistent Sharks. Inconsistent Sharks. We're not even going to edit that out. Leave that in. But the Sharkies, man, do you think there's time for them to come back?
That's the thing about the NRL. It's so long that you could play yourself back into form. Yes, I do.
We've got a few clubs that are having a bye this weekend. But remember, you can hear all NRL games live on ABC Radio Australia. In other news, Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters had the bye this weekend. In New South Wales Jersey Flag, the Cavite Silktails lost to the number one team in the competition at the moment, 14-36. They played the Storm in Singatoka over the weekend. Time for rugby. I know there's always a lot with rugby league, but what do you got for me with rugby too?
Yeah, rugby union. The main thing that's happening in Australia at the moment is obviously the British and Irish Lions tour. They started their first game against the Western Force in Perth on Saturday, losing 54-7. Now, obviously, that sounds like a big loss, but it was awesome to see a lot of the Nishan brothers getting their opportunity to play against some of the best players in the world.
Just on that game, though, we had a tipping competition. We have a tipping competition, me and Sammy, but we went with the biggest, the closest score difference.
Yeah.
I went 60. Sammy went 45. He almost got it on the money there with a 47 difference there. Is that normal?
For Irish, British and Irish Lions, it is. They're a really good team.
So the Force wouldn't be too fussed about that result?
Nah. So basically, it was good. Yes, the score looks big because it's got a 5 at the front of it. But also at the same time, they were actually in the game for 55 minutes of the game. They're not expected to win that, but they put up a good fight. The coach actually ended up saying after, we brought the best we could for the situation at hand. We're playing against the best in the world, but also guys like, and even mentioned young guys like Lopiti Faifua, who came off the bench. Also Tian Tuakapulu, he played prop as well. He came off the bench. It gives them exposure, or it gave them exposure to playing literally the best props and locks in the whole world. So although there was a lot of struggles in that game, I guess the greatest experience is experience itself. So
you know what this game reminds me of? It reminds me of my last game for the Cook Islands. We were going out there to play the Tongan team. And like deep down, I knew we were going to get a hiding. But the Tongan team had an all-star lineup.
Yep.
Like they had Izzy Katoa. They had Taumalolo. They had Haumole Olokoatu. They had a stacked team full of the best Tongan NRL players. And I've been living in the UK for 7 years. So I'm going out there. I'm like, man, this is the best feeling. I get to play.
Yeah.
I'm like older than all of them, but I get to play against these legends, the best of the best. Although we lost by like 90 points, I still came off with a smile on my face because I got that experience. And I'm guessing that's the same for the Force players. But what players stood out to you in this game?
Yeah, I think in terms of Nishan players, I really liked Violin Ikuasi. He's a number 8 for Western Force. He's from New Zealand, but he's most likely going to be pledging his allegiance to Australia. He's just big, tough, great carries. He's somebody that is a player for the future, potentially a Wallabies pick in 2027. In terms of their team, I got to get off my chest. He was born in Australia, and he is a Nishan player. Sione Toipolotu, he played second five. He's amazing. He's probably in form, best second five in the whole world at the moment.
And he plays in Ireland?
He plays in Scotland.
Scotland at the moment,
plays in Scotland. Obviously, he's playing for the British and Irish Lions team.
But plays for Scotland as well, but he was born in Australia. Does he have any Scotland blood?
He technically has.
Oh, he does have Scottish blood.
He technically has, but... Oh, sorry, his grandma's like full-on Scottish.
Oh, there you go.
But then you got the other side, they're like straight Tongan.
Nah, man, we say here, if you've got that blood in you, it's
enough.
Ireland blood, Pacific blood, Scottish blood, wherever your blood's from, that's where you're from. So.
Yep, that's it. So, yeah, congratulations to the British and Irish Lions who have just completed their first game. The next game coming up for them is on Wednesday. So,
who have they got?
They've got the Reds coming up this week,
ooh,
this Wednesday. So, big game for them. In other news at the moment, in rugby union, we've got Taniela Tupou, who has been pulled from the Wallabies camp this morning to play the Waratahs versus the Lions game this weekend. So that's a huge result for the Waratahs, getting a world-class tight head prop. On the back of that, we've got Australia playing Fiji. Also, did you notice that the Prime Minister of Australia, Anthony Albanese, and the Fijian Minister Sitiveni Rabuka, they'll be at that game presenting the for volleyball to the winners. So that's pretty significant.
Also, the Wallabies are playing the Flying Fijians
on
Saturday night. We have the Australian Minister, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese.
Yep.
We've also got Fiji's Minister Sitiveni Rabuka.
Yep.
And sorry if I mispronounced that, but they'll be presenting the bowl at that game.
That's huge, getting your...
in Newcastle as well.
Yeah, getting an opportunity to be around members of the Parliament.
But beautiful.
That's all we got for results and news. It's time to get into Shelley Long to chat about the NRLW, which is in a few days away, T.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
T,
Geez, it feels like it's been a while since I've heard her voice, our PNG Orchids and NRLW player, Shelley Long. Shelley, how have you been and how's that knee of yours?
Oh, been great. The knee is finally making some improvements slowly, but, you know, you take them where you can get them. It's finally back on the field doing a lot more than what I was doing with the straight line running. So, you know, that always puts a smile on your face.
Are there hopes of still representing the Orchids at the end of the year still alive?
Yes, those hopes are still alive. Grinding away, trying to make sure that I can get there in time. And I think, you know, I'll be cutting it fine, but the hopes are still up and that's the end goal.
That's awesome. And speaking of the PNG Orchids, Talk Pigeon, how's your Talk Pigeon phrases been going?
It's been going good, actually. I've been able to use it more in the community. And the other day, I actually saw a lady with a billum, and I was like, good plum morning. Like, I've just been throwing it out there, trying to make sure that I'm still keeping it alive in my brain and making sure I can use it in whatever situation I can.
That's awesome. Last week, I just got back from Japan, and today I actually went to a Japanese cafe, and I was going to say arigato gozaimasu, but then I was like, oh, no, I'll just say thank you. So I bottled it. Well, let's get to some rugby union first, and we're going to start with the Australian A Wallaroos. They took on the Manusina Samoa. What did you make of this game?
Oh, I think it was an excellent game. Australia A Wallaroo squad delivered a dominant performance in Canberra, defeating Manusina Samoa 50 points to 22 in the Women's Pre-World Cup match. Standouts for me were Manoa Moleka, and there was a few returning stars from the Wallaroo squad who also did great in that game. Moleka impressed with a first half double, showcasing her speed and footwork as she was really making sure that she can get a Wallaroos debut under her belt. I think after that performance, I would really like to see her in the Wallaroos squad. And I think after this performance as well, it really goes to show that the Wallaroos have been working well in terms of their attack and defence, not leaking too many points in this game, but also managing to really dial down on that attacking work.
Yeah, and speaking of the Australian A Wallaroos team, I know Sammy mentioned last Friday on Asian Footy that usually with Australia A teams or these these second teams, they're for up-and-coming players, but it seems like the Australian A stacked their team. And when you look at the Manusina Samoa, only losing by 28 points, I think they could, you know, hold their head high as well.
Oh, 100%. And I think when you're looking at that game, the Wallaroos have definitely gone, okay, we need to prepare for this World Cup. And the best way to do that is by getting more games under our players' belts. And that's exactly what they did by putting the majority of their squad into that A team. But for Manusina Samoa, I mean, incredible efforts from them. I feel like each year and every time we talk about them, they continue to, you know, do so well. Putting 22 points on the Wallaroos is a hard job in itself, and they've managed to do that excellently. So I think there's a lot of growth still for Manusina Samoa, but I think with each time they take the field, they continue to bring a lot of talent out there. And now the Wallaroos will go on to verse New Zealand in a fortnight's time. So again, it will be interesting to see, will they play a strong team like they did in this time, or will they rest some players ahead of the World Cup?
Great work, Shell, with Rugby Union. Now, I know my sidekick here, Sammy Wykes, isn't here to ask you any more questions. So I'm just going to shift straight over to the big news, which is the NRLW is kicking off this week. And I have a feeling that a lot of the ladies have been waiting. You know, there's been long pre-seasons that's been held. You would have heard from your partner that's been a part of these pre-seasons. It's finally here. I've got four questions for you. And my first one will be, what is the one game this weekend that you are looking forward to watching in the first opening round of the NRLW season?
Well, I think for me, the biggest game to watch this week. And now I think all of these games are going to be great, and it was definitely hard to pick. But for me, it would have to be the Bulldogs versus the Knights on Friday at 5:40 p.m. I think, you know, you're looking at a very solid Knights group and also a very strong Bulldogs team, which is their, which will also be their first ever game in the NRLW. But I think they're both solid teams that will really make an impact in this year's NRLW competition.
Yeah, the Bulldogs being a new team to the NRLW and new head coach as well, with Braden Williami there. Hopefully, I'm wishing them all the best, and I'm hoping we can get them on our show. But, and my next question is, what is your, or who is one of your favourites for to win the competition this year so far?
Oh, I think my favourites will be, unbiased opinion again, the Cowboys. But you know what? You gotta throw out, I think, looking at the teams, looking at who's on the rosters for these clubs, I think another one will have to be the Bulldogs for me. I think they've come into the competition with a very solid group of leaders in that game, in their squad. And I think after their pre-trial game, I think they'll really stand out and stand up as well for this competition.
So you're going the Cowboys, which is a no-brainer. I shouldn't have even asked you that question. And the Bulldogs as your other team. Those are your two. I'm going to go Roosters back-to-back. And if not, the Broncos look like they have a solid team, especially with Tamika Upton joining their ranks.
Yeah, I think the Broncos have to be up there again. They've signed some key players in Tamika Upton. They've also re-signed Chelsea Lenarduzzi, and I think you've got as well Shalom there. She'll be a massive impact for them with Destiny Brill. So, again, a lot of strong players in the Broncos squad, and I think a lot of people will probably underestimate them after last year's campaign. But you know, each team's growing as the years go on.
You forgot Mele Hufanga as well, and that reminds me, she did say to me that she was going to be jumping on our show, so I need to reach out shortly to speak to Mele. Next question: which team do you think will, now just looking at all the squads, which team do you think will struggle this year?
Oh, it's always a tough one. I'm going to go two teams for this one. I think in terms of travel, I think the Warriors will potentially struggle having to travel to Australia back and forth, especially when they come into warmer climates. Like, we know New Zealand gets quite cold over there, and travelling to Brisbane or to Townsville, that will be tough on them. But so I'll have to put Warriors in there, especially coming in as a new team. And I'm going to say West Tigers as well. I think they did lose Tash Penatani just recently to the Gold Coast Titans under compassionate grounds. I think they've got a roster that is quite young as well. And I think in this stage of the game, you need that variety of, you know, more experienced players with a little bit of youth in there. And I think after the amount of injuries that they've also had previously with their older players, I think they'll potentially struggle.
Yeah, I won't lie. I would have said Tigers, but Sala Tongatuki is also a part of the Nijan footy family. So just between me and you, hopefully she's not listening, I'm going to say the Tigers will struggle as well. But all love for Salah and the girls playing over there. Last question is who's your favourite player or the player to look out for this season?
I'm going to have to say Tufau. She is a Cowboys player who was actually a part of our development squad. She's just been elevated to the top 24. She's a middle forward who originally came from Parramatta Eels. But she has been thrown through the washing machine. And I mean, you know, as a forward and you're going into the washing machine, you never want to come back to training. This girl, I'll tell you, she has shown up day after day, grinded her way into the top 24, powerhouse middle, who takes about six girls to get her down. I think when she debuts for the Cowboys, she'll be very hard to stop and someone that I'm excited to see, particularly when she goes also back to play for Samoa. So
beautiful. Well, Shelley, actually, I'll add my one there. I'm going to go with Mele Hufanga. And Tiana Panattoni is going to have a massive year as well. So those are my two stars to look out for.
Any up-and-coming stars that you have witnessed lately or heard about, T, that you think are some players to keep eyes on?
I'm looking forward to watching Shalom Sawuso, that's going to be representing the Brisbane Broncos. New to the game, but from what I'm hearing, she's an absolute beast. So that's my three players to look out for. It's been, again, an honour to have you here, and welcome back, Shelley Long, to the Long Story Short.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, T, and I'm looking forward to jumping on next week to unwrap the first ever game of the 2025 NRLW competition.
Hi, it's Tabua Tunakavandra, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Well, Tubes, as I mentioned at the start of the show, we have a special guest with us, joining us on Nation Footy. His name is Jesse Senelafau. He's a very close friend of mine, and he also represented the Manly Sea Eagles and Cronulla Sharks in the NRL, and then he went over to the UK and played for a few clubs, including the Castleford Tigers. It was one of my rival clubs, and I don't even think I got to beat him over there. But welcome to Nation Footy, also, Jesse Senelafau.
Hey, what's up, everyone? What an intro, man. It's a pleasure to share the space with you guys. But yeah, very blessed, and can't wait to get to the show.
Man, that's a pretty nice intro coming from someone who knows you really well. Hey, far out.
Hey, it's for the people, man. Well, let's start with your family, your background. You know, where's your family from, which villages, and where did you grow up?
Yep, so my full name is Jesse Willie Sene Lefau. And my heritage is Samoa, but I'm born in New Zealand, from Porirua. My first name comes from my granddad. He's the one that named me. And Willie comes from the name Wulingonge. And in Samoa, Wulingonge is Wellington. And that was the original name that my old man wanted to name me. But as you know, your mum's dad is always the boss. So my granddad named me Jesus. I think he was meant to say Jesus, but it ended up coming Jesus. And then we go into Sene Lefau, which is my old man. He's from Lalomonga in Samoa. And Sene is the first part of my granddad's name, which is Sene Tenari, is his full name. And Lefau is the last name. But then my dad got Makai, and he wants me to add the Lefau seal on the end. But no, we're sticking solid to Sene Lefau and my dad from Lalomonga. So yeah, that's where, you know, that's a bit about like where I am from, part of my culture.
Yeah.
And where I was brought up was Western Sydney. Come over here when I was 10, privileged enough to get adopted to this game named Rugby League. And now Rugby League has played a big part of my life in the last 13 years.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so very blessed.
Man, you've had a blessed career. Just winding it back to your grandparents, when did they move from Samoa to New Zealand, to the Porirua? They're calling you the Prince of Porirua back then?
Peter, nah. Grandma and granddad definitely moved over, like, I don't know the exact year, but I know they moved over for a better life.
Yeah.
Samoa wasn't the place where they could see their dreams and goals. So New Zealand was the place to go. Mm. And then, yeah, that's where my family, or my mum and dad, my mum was born, and then my dad came over, married my mum because he wanted the visa.
He's good.
It's true love, man. It's true love.
True love, mate.
And then the journey from New Zealand to Australia, how did that come about?
Yeah, man, I was young. Still understanding, you know, why things are changing. My first parents were my grandma and granddad.
Mm.
Played a big part of my life. I learned Samoa first with them. But yeah, majority of my time was, and all this, the memories I have and the lessons and the teachings that I live by today, definitely from my grandma and my granddad. The way I attack life now is literally from my granddad. And You know, he plays a big part in the places I've been and the impact I've able to have in the community. He saw my future before I could even think of it. He used to massage me. You know, in the Samoan culture, you always have one guy that's a good massage person. That if you got a broken ankle, come here for four. You don't go to the doctor, you know. And that was my granddad. He used to massage my legs, and he used to say little comments, freshy comments, but man, son, your legs are gonna make heaps of money. And you know what, son? You're gonna go around the world and bless a lot of people. And like at the time, you know, you think, oh man, granddad's just been a, you know, granddad. But now that I'm older and I'm wiser and I listen a lot better than what I used to, I can see all the things that he used to say. He didn't say to everyone, you know. And I'm so blessed that I could live some of the things he said and have the impact, you know, that he could already vision for me.
He was also speaking hope and belief, and as a young kid hearing those things, you know, you're like thinking, like you said, it's like, man, that was a long time ago. You thought that he was just saying grandpa things, but then when you look back at it, he was actually speaking life into a young kid's vision, which starts, you know, where you with your rugby league journey, where did that all begin? How did you start the game of rugby league?
The game of rugby league was pretty much introduced to me through the TV, and John Olomu was the man for me. You know, Wellington Hurricanes, John Olomu, the winger, makes history in the World Rugby Cup, just bumping everyone off. And I even cut my hair like him and I got in trouble. But yeah, John Olomu was massive for me growing up. I didn't really know rugby league until I got to Australia. But definitely John Olomu and me and my granddad waking up to watch the games. All Blacks was the only team I knew. I didn't even know there was a Super 14. I thought it was just the All Blacks. But yeah, that was how rugby league got introduced. And then my uncles flying in and out of New Zealand gave me hope that I could leave Porirua, you know, and gave me hope that I could one day go on a plane like them and go to different countries. I was blessed enough to see my uncles go to England, France, and play in the NRL. And I think that was the start of a vision, so to speak, but also, like, you know, where this game could possibly take me.
Mm. Oh, what were your uncles' names?
So Robert Peaver just passed away. He played for the Cowboys, and he was probably the first Kiwi to make the Kiwis team from the Wellington versus Auckland games back in the day. Fred Peaver, he went over to France. He played a lot of his career in France, but also in New Zealand. But Robert Peaver also played for Wakefield Wildcats, which is your old club, T.
The number one club in the world, baby.
And, yeah, so I'm blessed enough to actually go and experience all that he got to experience and, you know, play in Townsville. And I just got back from Townsville, and I got to speak to the Townsville players, and it was just really special to be in that place and think that my uncle was here once upon a time.
Yeah, man, that's cool. And like that probably stemmed or encouraged the dream out of you, right? And, you know, takes it back to junior footy. You know, tell us about your early stages on your junior rep footy. Where did you start in terms of your reps in the juniors?
Yep, it's – yeah, I'm blessed enough, like, Penrith Brothers is the name now. Back then, they used to be called St. Dom's. Quick story, you know, man, I'm in the last part of my career, and I'm doing one more year at Penrith Brothers now in the Ron Massey Cup.
The show goes on, man. Hey,
they always say one more year, and then 2026 comes around.
Yeah, play a coach.
Speak to the wife. Yeah. I think my body's good to go one more, babe.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good for a little matchy here and there, man. Why not?
But man, like I'm talking about, like, the vision of my granddad and being back home, you know, with my family in Australia and being in that community again and still having these rivalries with, like, St. Mary's and stuff like that. It's so special that I can be a part of it still.
Yeah.
And on the weekend I played against, you know, the Bulldogs, but it was the old boys' day. And all the old boys that were watching were the boys that I played with. So it's a full circle, man. But, yeah, I started my junior rugby career with the Penrith brothers. I'll be honest, man, my junior rugby career was probably, you know, if you watched me play back then, you wouldn't think that I'd have a career that I've had today and being able to use rugby league as a tool to give my family life and provide and have an impact. I wasn't really the most talented player.
Yeah.
But I definitely was like the youngest in the group. And that development for me took me a long time. And that's why I debuted so late. I debuted at like 24 years old.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm a slow learner. But I definitely just have this kind of, I believe I have resilience, you know, just to get through the hard times, get through the no's, and then, you know, just trusting that the work that I'm doing is going to pay off soon.
Yeah, for sure. And so from in your junior career, what ended up being the actual first rep team, or who finally picked you up after playing club?
I did make the Harold Mats.
Yep.
And I got injured in the first trial. And then they made cuts. And I literally played 2 minutes in this trial. But I believe, and I think, you know, T could probably back me up, but I ended up making the team without playing any trials at all. And I still believe that I only made the team because I had a massive preseason. And I just competed the whole time. And that was probably one of the best things I had. But in terms of like ball running and all that kind of stuff, it probably, you know, I wasn't really the best player. But yeah, literally made the Harold Mats through training. Went okay in the SG ball, but you know, not the big SG ball season that I wanted.
So you wasn't the star, or
and then
wasn't the guy that, you know when you go into SG ball and there's always this player, like watch
the
out name, for them.
The big names.
Yeah, the big names. You weren't one of those guys, I'm assuming.
Nah, definitely not. I believe I wasn't. But you know, I did. I'm not gonna say like no one knew me. You know, I was always a name that was in the mix. But when it comes to picking that team, probably not the first one picked.
And what do you think? You know, if there's a kid listening, they're not the star in their age group, but they have that determination and that drive, and they want to try and make these rep teams. What's one bit of advice you'd give to these kids listening?
To be honest, man, like I know it's hard to say it, but I wish I could show them, you know. But if there was one thing, is like just chip at it every day, because it doesn't become like a failure, so to speak, unless you give up.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that word is chucked around too much lately, that our kids, you know, give up before it even is said.
Mm.
But for me personally, like that word only comes true if I give up. So I can't really say that I have a lot of failures in my life. I just have a lot of lessons that I've learned from, and I've used them to make me stronger and build character and stay in this game.
And then what's transitioned you into your NRL career? And you mentioned earlier, you know, you made your debut at the age of 24. Was that the same mindset, to stay in the fight? What was that? What was the motivation to keep you in that fight to finally make your NRL debut?
I think it was the situation I was in.
Yeah.
Everyone goes through a season of, you know, autumns and summers. But the season I was in, man, was a winter season. And a lot of things weren't going the way that I thought. I promised my wife, you know, 5 years, and if I don't get this NRL journey, then I'm going to go to the mines and make, you know, 130K a year. So give me 5 years. And then we went to Manly, and I only had a 1 year deal, and that was the last year. I only had one deal. And I went all in, man. And, I think Justin Horrow spoke about it on the podcast about, those zero trainers. And that was me. And I'm proud to say it, because at that time, me coming to Manly, I had 1 year to make first grade. I only got 30 grand a year, and my rent was 37 grand a year. The numbers didn't mix up, match up to my manager.
Mm.
I had to work and train full time. And for me, man, that was the biggest like valley.
Mm.
You know, that was the valley I had to go through to get to mountaintop.
Yep.
And through that valley, man, those lessons and backing yourself, you know, to your family and keeping yourself accountable, It's probably the lesson that I could never have got anywhere else. And I just believe I had to go through that season to get through and see the summer later and to play every game after that, you know, for that whole year was just like rain pouring from all the hardship that I went through to get there.
And you probably also forgot to mention your young father at the time as well.
Well, that's part of the story too. You know, you're backing yourself with having a kid at 18. So that kind of, you know, puts a little bit of obstacles in the way, bit of self, you know, you start to not believe in yourself because you're listening to other people. People are talking smack about you.
Yeah.
But for me, man, I just had to kind of find who I was, identity. Mm-hmm. I had to, you know, get rid of the fear of failure, you know, and then, you know, just really keeping myself accountable and just finding right people that I wanted to be like and chase dreams with them.
Man, it's so awesome to hear, Jess. Like, I'm like a couple of things, right? Firstly, you got a kid at 18. Secondly, you're 24. You still haven't debuted. And probably the third thing is you're on $30,000 a year, $37,000 your rent. Man, that's, bro, those mountains are pretty big.
Better. Also, I want to add the expectation from his family and friends. You know, a lot of his close friends had already gone and made their debuts a year or 2 years before, and him adding that extra pressure as well, which some kids do go through them challenges.
Yeah, also like just being a provider as a male, right? Like you've got so many pressures that you're probably feeling internally. Did you feel like you wanted to quit?
Yeah, 100%, bro.
Man, thanks for sharing that, because that's a lot of stuff, Jess, man.
Yeah, man, like at the time, like you say it like that, it's heavy. It's heavy.
Yeah.
But I'm just so blessed that I felt like I had the edge on everyone, even though I hadn't been there. I felt like I had the edge on everyone. And the reason why I bring up this is because we were put in this squad, and it was called the Edge Squad when I was young. And I was promised if I signed with Penrith that I'll go on this UK tour. I signed with Penrith. I signed for Penrith for $8,000, and Newcastle gave me a contract full time, $38,000.
That's right.
And I was like, what the hell am I doing? But that's another story. But yeah, like I signed my contract. I'm promised to go to UK. They named the UK team. I'm at Penrith and I'm not in it. And then I watch all the boys. T was part of this team. They all go to the right and they go and ball play and captain's run. And then we go to the left and we're doing biathlon and we're doing genos. And honestly, I could have quit then. I could have gave up then.
Damn, that would have been the time they thinking about
I remember, this Edge Squad, before we got a contract, one of the trainers said to us, hey, I know you don't have a contract, but we're starting this Edge Squad every morning, 6 a.m., on Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. And what he would do is create these programs to break players for first grade. And if the program was good, it would go up. And if it was bad, just scratch it. And I didn't miss a session. But going through that whole cycle of missing out, of going to UK with my best mates, doing the Edge by myself, and like everyone's either signed or in the UK, and I had nothing. And if I knew if I got through that, then there's nothing else that can break me. Mm. You know what I mean? So when I went through this next cycle with my baby and all, you know, the Manly, the rent, man, I just felt like I couldn't be broken, but not in a cocky way, but in a way that I believe like I had this edge on everyone. And then I also, the above everything else, everyone's different. I had God on my side and that was probably the difference. And that's probably the edge I had on probably everyone. And that was just my mind talking to me that I knew God had this vision for me because my life is already written. I just had to put in the work. And with that mindset, man, like I know I'm talking about faith now, but everyone has to have something that's bigger than them. And if that thing's so important, through the times that you want to give up and it's not worth it, he reminds me that I have a purpose. And it's not about the game, but it's how many guys you can save in the game and how many lives you can change. And that's what changed everything.
Sounds like your grandpa got that vision, you know, from God, and then he's also shared that same vision to you. And it's, you know, you look at your journey, man. It's quite a cool experience when you get to hear it. And you mentioned earlier, you know, you also worked, and I know a lot of footy players these days. Being able to play and train and work at the same time is probably madness when you think about that. But what were you doing at that time for work while trying to, you know, chase your dream and play in the NRL?
Yeah, well, when I got my full-time contract, I got to quit one of my jobs, which was a cellarman. But then I kept my security license. And the best thing about security at that time, like, everyone needs securities, and I'm Pacifica, so everyone wants the kind, like, my brand.
Big bopper. So you had work.
You had work. Yeah.
So, like, even though we moved to Manly, man, I was picking up shifts there on Thursday, Friday, and then coming back to out west for Saturday, Sunday, working on the doors or, you know, working in the clubs. But, man, in saying that, man, I can really see why I was there and why I kept it. Yes, it was for the money. Yes, I needed to provide, but it, man, being in the club and learning how, because they came up with this new law that we weren't allowed to touch people anymore. So I had to adjust and like rugby, man, you got to adapt, man. If they're not killing, man, you start hitting, you know, you start hitting short. But for myself, I had to use language and I used to use techniques to talk to drunk people to get them out without touching. And that was a skill, man, like today. I'm so blessed I learned that skill because it taught me how to talk. And not at that time, but look, after the game, I'm 35 years old now and I'm able to speak. I'm able to speak to people and help change lives.
Right, so good. Yeah.
After, you know, your journey leading into your making your debut, what was that moment like when you, you know, finally got told that you'd be playing for the Manly Sea Eagles in the NRL? You know, tell us about the emotions and what happened, you know, during that time when that got announced.
I found out, like, I walked up to training and this one morning, you know, Steve Maddie shakes my hand and this time was a little bit tighter, a bit of more of a hug. And then I was like, yeah, what's up, man? And then Snake comes up and he's like, hey, Jess. Really jumpy, and Snake's not really a jumpy person. Like, he's a bit of like, he's a serious type.
Yeah,
and
then
Chucky's
Brett
normal.
Stewart. Snake's Brett Stewart, yeah.
Brett Stewart, sorry. Yeah. And yeah, all the senior boys say hello to me that morning, which is not like, it's not abnormal, but with the energy, it was abnormal, you know?
Mm.
So we walk into a video and then he names the team and number 17 wasn't named. And then I was like, what the hell? And then after that, they go, yeah, there's one guy that's going to debut. Jesse, congratulations. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, man. My body was still, but my legs and my heart was jumping everywhere, man.
That's mad. Who was that? Who was the first person you told?
I told my wife. You know, I rang her straight away. She just thought I was lying at first because I always like do silly jokes. But I was like, nah, I'm actually going to Brisbane. Like, we've got to catch a flight and all this. And then, like, after that, we just, like, I hung up. And then I just remember being around Lengi Sal, Junior, I mean, George, Tafua, and it was Justin and Cheekam. I think Cheekam was in the car and we're just sitting there because back then Manly didn't have dressing rooms. Our dressing room was the boot of your car and you put your clothes in there.
Oh, that's right. You used to park up at the park at the training fields and then you'd get changed in the car park.
Oh, man. And they were like, I can't believe you're playing. I said, yeah, me too.
when you look back on your career, and I feel like we could sit here and talk for another half an hour, but when you look back on your career, what is the biggest lesson that you got to learn from your NRL journey, but also your journey over to the UK and spending the time there as well? Or you can give us two biggest lessons.
I think for me personally, going to the UK is like, don't change who you are, right? And when I say that, I don't mean don't grow. You always got to grow, but don't change who you are, you know, the values that you hold and the culture that comes behind you. And like, if you're a loud person, be a loud person, but learn how to be a loud person in a good place. Learn how to connect cultures together and add value. And I believe I stuck solid, to who I was, in Castleford and just just happened to be that Castleford didn't like welcome me with open arms to let me be who I was. Because I'm a bit leery, you know, I bring the music on the first day of training and no one even knows me. The speaker's going on while training, the coach is like, what the hell? As they adopted this and just me being very, very different to all the overseas signings that they ever had, sometimes people can say some harsh things and it makes you change. But yeah, man, like be yourself, man, and carry, because the blessings and the talents that you have inside of you are meant to be for the world to be blessed with.
What a story, man. It's been an absolute honor to have you here on the Nijin Footy. I know that we spoke about one chapter of your life, and I know the next chapter, the best is yet to come, also. So thank you again, and much love from everyone here in Nijin Footy.
Talo falava, love, and God bless.
What goes on behind the scenes in Pacific politics, and how does it affect us? Polytalk is back to unpack the big questions, like why is no one talking about PNG's political refugee crisis?
I can't even call it an election. It was something like a criminal thug war.
Join me, Scott Whitey, as I chat all things Pacific politics on Polytalk.
Tuesday, 9 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
Give me three answers for this one. All right, Toots, it is your turn. Our game of categories, 3 points up for grabs each week. It might be about footy, it might be not. And the loser has to shout the other host and their partner a spa day and dinner at the end of the year. So you're taking Sam's spot here.
Okay.
He's on 20 and I'm on 21. So I'm asking you the three questions, or the give me three. For every correct answer you get, you get 1 point. But how much do you listen to our show, Nijin Footy?
Right. This is my favorite show.
Well.
All right, here we go.
With Give Me Three, I thought I would be a little bit cheeky here. And this was one of the first questions that I asked Sammy. So if you were listening, you would know all three answers.
Okay.
But give me three Pacific country flags that have the colour yellow in it.
PNG, Papua New Guinea.
That's one. That was quick.
How many do I need to get? Two.
Three. So give me three. You get 1 point for every, all right, every correct answer.
So we've got
answer.
Papua New Guinea.
I thought you'd get PNG.
Vanuatu?
Vanuatu. Yep, that's two. Vanuatu. Two from two. Is correct. I had to ChatGPT here, didn't give Vanuatu as the option, but
and
had to fact check that one.
The last one is,
damn man, I thought you'd just get PNG.
Well, it's not Cook Islands, eh? Can't say that.
Well, you can if you want.
Yeah.
Cook Islands?
Nah. Well, I'll say Cook Islands.
Bro, you know that Cook Islands don't have yellow in it.
It depends.
There's no yellow in the Cook Island flag. It looks exactly like the New Zealand and Australian flag, but it's got a circle of 15 stars in the middle of it.
But it depends what rugby or what sporting team, because they might put yellow.
No,
Put yellow on the diamonds.
Anyways,
on
you the diamond, had on the option of Palau, Kiribati, Nauru.
That's it. I was thinking of Fiji because Kiribati and Fiji, they're kind of same.
Even UA.
Damn.
Even UA. But hey, two from threes. They're good. Good result for Sammy, because he's now on 22 and I'm on 21. Damn. But,
got you, Sam. Don't worry.
Appreciate you coming on. It's an absolute pleasure and the best 18th man in history.
Maitaki.
All right, that's it. Tell your footy-loving friends about Nijin Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. Ka kite to everyone. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.